Hey, before we get started, I do want to remind you to make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, in this episode, we're actually going to be featuring content from a recent coaching session that I had with a church leader that I think you are going to benefit from. Now, these coaching sessions are available as part of our Church Media HQ memberships. If you're interested and want to sign up for a membership, you can head over to churchmediahq.com to learn more and get started. That's churchmediahq.com. Well, I'm really excited to share this conversation with you now. My name is Luke Clayton, and welcome to the Must Increase Podcast. Well, then let's get right to the kind of main topic, talking about your social media strategy. And I think I explained this, you know, a few weeks ago whenever you first onboarded, you know, these the nature of these coaching calls is kind of just to talk ideas, collaborate. And a lot of times it's an ongoing conversation. So, you know, if we don't, you know, cover enough ground today, we can schedule another and we can continue to discuss. And so I'm going to kind of start broad and just ask you, you know, what is kind of your goal? What are you looking to achieve in terms of, you know, social media? And again, I know that's a broad question, but we'll try to drill down and narrow the field, if you will. But I wanted to start there.
I completely understand that. Let me pull something up real quick if I can. So give me just a moment, please. Because several years ago, I did sit down and I tried to put some things together in regards to, okay, you know, what is social media? What's its purpose, etc. Because I don't even think that there's necessarily, at least from what I've found, necessarily one definition of exactly what is social media to begin with.
Sure.
You know, when you talk about social media, some people talk about, well, they specifically Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, what have you. But a broader definition of exactly what that is. One of the things that I came away with was that social media is really, it's a tool that allows you to be able to interact and to share and consume information with one another. Mm-hmm. I remember one of the spiritual leadership conferences that I went to back in the early 2000s. One of the sessions that I went to, and I can't remember if it's Jeremy Lofgren or who it was that was actually doing it. The topic of the entire session was Web 2.0. Mm-hmm. Standpoint of, you know, being able to actually interact with people instead of something that's static. So that's kind of the big takeaway for me, is that social media is a tool, allows us to interact, to share, to consume information. The second question that I've had to kind of wrestle with is it necessary? Is social media necessary? One of the things that I've came away with is, for me, social media is not necessary. I could live my life without social media and I would be 100% A-okay.
Yeah.
But is it necessary for our ministry? I think that's a question that every ministry has to answer. And I don't know that it's necessarily going to be answered the same for every ministry. There honestly would be some ministries, I think, that could answer it and say, no, it's not necessary for me. For us, because of where we're at, because of where we're located, I do believe that it is, to a certain extent, necessary. So from there, the next question is, okay, a strategy for actually using it. That's something that I've not necessarily been able to settle upon. You know, we don't have a social media strategist on our staff. I know a lot of churches are beginning to hire, you know, staff members, and part of their, you know, job description is social media strategy. We're not there yet to hire someone like that. But in the process, in the meantime, okay, so what do we do? If we had a somewhat of a laid out strategy, it would be a little bit easier for myself or for somebody else to actually kind of do it. Mm-hmm. Just saying, here, you do it. Figure out what you're going to do and just go for it.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm them coming to you to say, okay, hey, you know, what kind of a strategy can we put together?
And absolutely.
Then let's go with it. I will say this, I don't know if it's something that you maybe are aware of or not, but currently I use Canva quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
They actually allow nonprofits to use their pro service for free.
Yep. Correct. Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you were aware of that or not. So we've got access to that, which gives all the tools as far as graphics and so on, scheduling mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. So we've got the tools. I just need a strategy to actually put that all to good use.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. And you've got I think you've got your mind wrapped around it pretty well as far as a good, as far as, like you were saying, understanding what the purpose of it is for your church, you know? And so I do pretty much agree with everything you said. Nothing I can think of that's like, oh, hold up, you're off on that. So I think you're good on that. First thing I want to talk about is, of course, you know, this, the thing about social media, and I'm kind of like you personally, social media, not my thing. I check, have you ever seen there's like the meme out there where it's like somebody sitting in front of like all these security camera screens. And it's like, this is me on social media. I'm watching what everybody's doing, but I am not engaging. I am not posting. Like that's kind of how I treat it. So, it's not for me personally, but yeah, you gotta recognize it. It has a place in our digital world. And so it's a tool, like you were saying. Now, right now, the thing about social media is the algorithms are constantly changing, you know, and so kind of what type of content does well seems to be constantly changing. So the first thing, kind of as far as talk about the platforms a little bit, I think for the most part, from what I'm gathering, you know, I'm all about what's happening at Twitter in terms of, you know, the takeover and the new direction they're headed, free speech. That's all great, good and well. And maybe more will come of that that's applicable to churches in the future. You know, Twitter spaces and being able to upload long form content, that might go somewhere someday. But for right now, Twitter does not seem to be like a very valuable place for a church to be. Now, for you personally, as a pastor, maybe as an individual, but it seems like you got to be willing to like stoke the fire to get engagement on Twitter. It's kind of like definitely a if it bleeds, it leads type of place. And so I just don't see Twitter right now being the most valuable platform for a church to be on. Again, that could change down the road. And I think what could change it is, like I said, the addition of them doing more with long form content. You know, they're allowing people to post longer videos, full episodes of podcasts and things like that. And so I can definitely see how a church could maybe post sermons and all that. But for now, I don't know. I'm just like, let's just kind of wait and see, because it's not proven to be a very effective place for a church. So with that in mind, Instagram and Facebook, really seem to be like the two kind of, main places. And even though they're owned by the same company, Meta, they are very unique platforms. They share some similarities, but they are different, and they do kind of reach different audiences, and different types of content, even on those, do well. The other one is TikTok. I'm not a fan of TikTok at all in terms of, you know, I do see a lot of, you know, because of who owns TikTok, and you know, it's directly connected to China and so forth, and the algorithm, even beyond that, separate that out of it, the algorithm on there is scary good. But you know, we ride that fine line of, okay, what content is, or what platforms, or how are we going to use these tools anyways? You know what I'm saying? And so I'm not going to push something ethically or anything like that. I'm just kind of giving you my two cents on the matter. Now, backing it up to talking about Instagram in particular. Instagram right now, what's working well is Reels. And of course, Reels is their answer to TikTok. And essentially, it's vertical formatted video, short video, you know, 30 to, you know, I think they can have as 3-5 minutes. I can't remember all the limitations on it. But the way that churches are using these is through like sermon clips is really mainly what I'm seeing, or some type of short form content where maybe a pastor, a lot of times it's their sermon, but you could also do it in like a podcast setting, kind of like my setup here where you're, talking to the camera and a little quick clip there. This content right now is doing really, really well. Instagram wants to, because they want to dominate TikTok, they've programmed their algorithm to say, hey, if you're going to post that real TikTok type content to Instagram, then we're going to give you engagement basically in return. You see, back in the day, it was stories. Stories was invented by, or the original concept of stories was actually through Snapchat. And so Instagram added stories to their app and did the same thing, and it worked. It worked. They overtook Snapchat, and now Snapchat's kind of phasing out a little bit. It's still relevant, but anyways, I wouldn't say get on that. But anyway, so I'm just Reels is what's doing best, but Reels is also the most challenging to produce because it's video. And so it's one of those things where, a little bit more investment, you're probably going to get a little bit more return because it is a little bit more investment of energy and time and all of that. But it may not be, feasible for you at this time because, again, it's video content. And so that's the real side of it as far as like R-E-E-L is what they're called, Reels. That's that content. Now, then there are stories and there is, the actual feed, the original, kind of Instagram and the feed and where you post photos and videos and whatnot there. And it's kind of like the pecking order of engagement is Reels, stories, then feed. So feed is at the bottom, but feed is very relevant still. And so you kind of got to kind of keep that, like I said, that priority in terms of, like I said, the algorithm and engagement in mind, and then just decide, okay, what content do what makes the most sense? Cause like I said, Reels is going to be the most engagement, but the hardest to produce. Stories is going to be second, but again, it's not as easy to produce as feed content, because feed content is where you just, you can schedule all of it, like you said, directly out of a tool like Canva or Buffer, or even Instagram has built-in tools for that. They are allowing you to some degree schedule stories now. It's a little bit complex. It's not as cut and dry as it would seem. And so I wanted to kind of spit all that info out as we continue this conversation, because just to get a feel of kind of like of everything I'm saying, what kind of I know we're talking Instagram in particular. We could talk about Facebook here in a second, but I just want to kind of get a feel, get a read on you on based on what I'm saying, what might be the best fit as far as what's most doable for you and, your staff and volunteers and people you're working with.
Well, that all depends upon what is the content. So what's the purpose of sure. Reels?
Yeah.
And what is the purpose of that? So again, that kind of goes back to the whole idea of, okay, here's the tool. What are we using it for? Is it just to post, is it just to get out our, here's the next activity that's coming up. Here's the next big service that's coming up. I mean, what are we using it for? I don't want to be that pastor that's putting Reels out there, just, hey, welcome to my office. And, today yeah, I had for lunch, I had a, a Jimmy John's, whatever. If I'm going to get the biggest bang for the buck by doing Reels, then okay. I mean, we can kind of put some strategy around that. If it is, just simply a feed of scheduling out various things. All right. Well, then let's go with that. Social media is such a huge thing.
Yeah.
I can't involve myself in, we can't involve ourselves in everything. So I want to focus in on, okay, what's going to work, which
absolutely.
That's why I'm meeting with you. So if you're saying, okay, right now Reels is where it's at and what's going to work best as far as developing engagement with the community, whether our own church community or even just community in our area, then okay, let me think about, okay, how we can go about doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that is, again, Reels is what's hot right now. If you were looking for,
in a month, it's going to be something else. I realize that.
Yeah. I do think we've got a good, I would say the remainder of this year, at least, because again, what Instagram is trying to do, they're trying to they're trying to become really competitive with TikTok, because TikTok is the number one social media app right now. I mean, it has overtaken. Oh yeah, it has overtaken Facebook, Instagram. And so they're trying to kind of get their market share back. And so because of that, they're going to continue, I think, to feed the algorithm to favor Reels. And so I definitely think it's something to look into. And just a kind of a tip on that, if you will, is, you know, it comes down to, like I said, if you want to go with sermon content, like if you've got quality video content of your sermons, because that's going to be, you are going to have to put out something that's quality, you know, to a degree. I mean, it's not the same, and that's a fine line too, because you don't want something to look overproduced, but at the same time, you don't want it to look like, oh, I remember back in COVID, these pastors that were just like setting their phone up literally on their pulpit and getting shots of their double chin. You know, you don't want that either. And so it's a balancing act there. Now all of that said, the last thing about Reels is like, the opportunity that you potentially have with Reels is having kind of like these viral moments. Now it's not guaranteed, but it's more likely than it's ever been. So you could put a reel out there that does really well for whatever reason, and you see a ton of views, likes, and comments and engagement. But it's not guaranteed, but like I said, it's more likely than it's ever been because of the way they're programming these algorithms. That's the phase where we're talking about the different types of content. There is a second factor to consider on social media, which is the hardest part. And that is the ongoing engagement on your end. So you can post, whether you posted reels, stories, feed, doesn't matter. You can post that content, but it's, and that's kind of like that kind of plants the seed, but really what waters and grows your audience is the ongoing engagement. So for example, you post, doesn't matter what it is, let's say it's a reel, or even just something in the feed, and somebody comments. Okay. You really, if you're good at social media, you jump on that comment, you respond, you engage a conversation, you actually continue with the engagement there. You don't want to overuse it, but from time to time, you're posting content that actually encourages comments and interaction. So, hey, what do you think? Throw your answer in the comments, that type of thing. But then you're ready to engage with it when somebody does respond. So, like I said, you're putting the content out on the regardless of what type of content you're putting it out there. That's planting the seed. Watering it though is that active engagement. That's where it's easier said than done, because it's not like you have to have somebody who, you know, all day, every day, they're just sitting on their phone, you know, ready to reply, but it's almost like checking an inbox. Like you do have to have somebody who's maybe ready once or twice a day to hop on to, you know, your Instagram in this case, see if there's any engagement, see if there's any direct messages, because that's another form of engagement as well, and actually respond accordingly. That for me is where social media loses me personally, as far as, and even for my business, because I'm a one man show over here. And I just, for me, and I just haven't, I personally, I know it's one of those things, if I were to do more social media, I probably could get more business, but I don't know. I'm pretty, I've got a good system that works for me that actually isn't super dependent on social media. So all that to say, that for me is why I personally, for my business, have not gone more all in, because I know the engagement side is something I just don't have the time, or like you said, I'm just not wired that way. Anyway, so that's another kind of a component to consider. That's really regardless of where you post the content. You got any thoughts, questions about that before kind of moving to kind of my next thought here?
Do you have to
engage?
Yeah. Do you have to have the engagement?
Here's an example. Do you get the graphic of the week from that I send out every Monday?
I'd get the email. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I get the email. I also have that automated, and I mean, that system's fully automated. I set it up a year and a half ago. I don't touch it. But I also have it set up to, it sends the email, but then it also posts to Instagram, automatically posts that graphic to Instagram and says, hey, to get the free graphic of the week, see the link in our bio. I keep the feed going there, 'cause again, it is automated, because another thing about the feed the feed gives you some credibility for your brand. So when somebody goes to your Instagram and they see, even if they see, oh, this person's actively continually post, that's why the feed, you don't want to forget. So they go, oh, they're actively continually posting every, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a week. It just kind of shows your, you know, your followers or potential followers that you're an actual active account. So that's why the feed still serves relevance. And so for me, I'm getting that benefit because I'm continually having some content added to my social feed, but the engagement on those posts is incredibly low because I never engage on them. You know, I never respond. I've had people comment. I don't ever do anything with it, you know, because again, it's just not for me. So, it's just, like I said, it's more or less a second factor to consider. Could you get away with that? Well, absolutely. Because again, it comes down to what your purpose is. If your purpose is to, like I said, with just simply posting content in the feed to say, yeah, I want our social media presence to be active. And I want potential, you know, people that are going to get connected with our church to see that we're there. I think that's a very good reason. You know, it gives you that kind of digital credibility in your whole, you know, church online. Because, you know, I always say church online is not just your live stream. It's every aspect of your digital presence. So it does give you that kind of validation that, okay, yeah, these guys really are, this church really is, you know, they're using social media. They're there. They're present. They have a spot. They may not be super engaged, but they're there. So,
well, I don't want to use social media just for the sake of engagement, just to be able to say, hey, look at how many people are following. Look how many engagements we are. I mean, because ultimately I want it to go along with our purpose as a church, as a ministry. I mean, ultimately is to share the gospel. So I just, you know, to engage for engagement's sake is not my desire.
Yep.
If you would.
No, that makes sense. And we're on the same page there because I'm, you know, I know people who, like, because of the nature of the type of business they have, they have to, like, if they don't, their livelihood's in trouble, you know. And there might even be some, like, if you were really trying to target a certain, like, a younger demographic, you know, like if you were saying, I want to get really intentional about young adults, you know, or teenagers or whatever, I would say engagement is more relevant. You know, but, you know, if you're just, again, just trying to have a social media presence and get the word out there more or less, then no, I wouldn't overthink it too much. I wouldn't completely abandon it. Like I said, maybe it's one of those things where maybe you just start once a week. Hey, once a week, I'll go and I'll check. And, you know, if there was somebody who left a comment or asked a question, because that is one of the main things to consider is, like, if somebody does direct message you or ask a question in the comments, that is something that's like, well, you know, you don't want to leave them hanging. You want to get back to them. Right. So, you know, it's not like it has to be this intensive thing where you're, you know, on your phone all day or even checking it once a day. But yeah, maybe once, twice, three times a week, depending on how much, because it will also depend on how much content you're putting out. If you decide to put out, you know, 2 to 3 posts a week, okay, well, maybe it's appropriate to try to engage 2 to 3 times a week, you know. But if you're only going to do once a week, then maybe I'll just try to engage once a week. Maybe that's a good way to kind of measure how often you should be engaging.
Okay. All right. With all that I've heard and so on. So what are we putting out there?
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of where I was going to head next. Yeah. And so, because that was based on what you're telling me, I wouldn't completely rule out doing anything with Reels. That's just going to require more on your end, thinking it through, talking with your people, if you will, and seeing what you guys could possibly develop there. So I'm going to kind of pin Reels as effective as they could potentially be. I'm going to pin that. And I'm actually going to focus more on the feed, because the nice thing about the feed is, like I said, the more we're talking, it kind of seems like that's maybe more where you're going to be suited to put that content out, and kind of serves the purpose of what you're going for. It's just to put helpful content out there regardless of engagement. Yeah. So, and the other nice thing about the feed, we haven't really talked about Facebook in particular, but Instagram and Facebook, it's very easy to just cross-post content on the feed. So, you know, whatever you post on Facebook or on Instagram can just be very easily sent to Facebook as well. And so that's always where I'm like, hey, if you're starting somewhere, it's great to start there. And also, it can just be an image. It doesn't have to be video content. Just be an image, nice graphic. So the main thing that I like to encourage churches about what they're going to post in their feed is don't turn your feed into a billboard for your church. Like, in other words, don't let the only time you're posting be to call somebody to action, in a way of like, hey, we've got VBS coming up. Not to say that you wouldn't do that. But you know, in sales and marketing, you know, they have the, they call it the, jab, jab, right hook approach, which really should be more like jab, 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 right hook approach, which is we're going to offer valuable content, valuable content, valuable content. And some will tell you for every five, some will tell you for every 10, but for every 5 to 10 pieces of just valuable content that we provide, no strings attached, we're going to do that right hook that actually says, oh, and we have something for you that we'd like you to consider buying in from a sales perspective. Here's the sale. Now, in the world of church, you're not necessarily selling anything, but when you ask somebody to come to church, attend your event, sign up for VBS, you know, whatever it may be, that's kind of your sale that you're trying to make. So in other words, if you want to have that type of content, I think you absolutely should, but you're going to have to remember to, that's your right hook where your jab's going to come from. And jabs, if you will, in the church world to me look like scripture verses that you post, which again, there's absolutely no limit on that. I mean, we've got 66 books to choose from, plenty of scripture content. And the second thing is if you want to, you know, obviously mix it up, is sermon quotes. Even if you don't, you know, post actual video, you know, clips, you can pull quotes from your sermon, or quotes in general, just good quotes from, you know, people of the past, you know, missionaries and preachers and whatever. And so that type of content, that's helpful. Another thing is questions. And again, you don't want to overuse the questions, because that's going to call people to respond and engage, and you would need to be ready to engage back if you're going to do that. But if one of those things were, hey, every once in a while, you could say, hey, what's your favorite worship song you're listening to right now, or you know, stuff like that, or what's your favorite Bible verse, or stuff like that. So that's some ideas, kind of some value type of content that can be provided. And there's others, but again, the point is, you want to offer value without really asking anything in return. And then, like I said, in the world of church, because you're not directly selling anything, you probably could get away with saying, hey, I'll have 4 or 5 value, and then I'll do the advertisement for our upcoming, you know, event or VBS or whatever. I also don't think there's anything wrong with doing a regular weekly reminder for church services. Hey, join us, you know, Saturday, post on Saturday. Hey, join us for Sunday tomorrow. That's expected. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You want to try to keep some variety in it. But you know, so that's kind of my thoughts on the type of content to post, and in particular to the feed, which again would be Instagram and then shared to Facebook as well.
Okay. All right. Currently something that is, currently content that we, regularly put out. So we send out, 2 weekly emails. We send out one on Wednesday, and then we send one out on Saturday. You know, the one on Wednesday is oftentimes a reminder of just, hey, the midweek service, the one on Sunday, you know, church on Sunday and such. We use MailChimp for that. A feature with the MailChimp is it will, you know, automatically post to Facebook, etc., you know, mm-hmm. when that email is sent out. So there's a link to it there. So yes. that is one thing that right now that is a regular for us every week on Wednesday, okay, and Saturday is when those social media posts that go along with the MailChimp.
Okay.
Where do you think that is something that we should continue or no?
I think anything, because I know this isn't about email marketing, but we could schedule another session to talk about that, because I think it's a lot more effective than social media. It really is. And so a lot of people, it's not as cool as social, but it's more effective. So I would not stop that at all. And my thing is yes, if you've got it integrated to automatically work with your social, if it's working for you, don't stop it. You know, keep it going. I would say we're more looking to say, okay, what can we do to add to it, you know, to supplement it, not change it. And so, yeah, so I would not, you know, make any massive adjustments to that. I'm going to just keep it basically the same.
All right. So offering the valuable content, you know, some of the things that you've mentioned thus far, would we try to do that as far as on a regular basis? So value content every Monday, you know, and so on. Should it be regular, or should it be just kind of, you never know when that jab's coming?
Yeah, no, that was going to be my next thing. The best thing you can do is come up with a social media template calendar. And you know, if it's just something that's simply weekly, you know, hey, like you said, every Monday we'll do a verse, every Wednesday we'll do a quote, you know, every Friday we'll do a Sunday service reminder. And then every once in a while, just sporadically, we'll throw out, hey, check out this upcoming event, you know, or this upcoming opportunity to connect with us or whatnot. And so, yeah, I was going to say that for me is the best approach to as far as just being able to wrap your mind around it and really make it happen is to start there. Now, it doesn't say that, because there is also, you know, and again, this always changes depending on what the algorithm's doing, but there's also an element of spontaneous that is good to keep in mind. Like I've heard people say you need to be 60 to 70% plan and 30 to 40% spontaneous, but the spontaneous content that really goes in the stories. And the way that might look is you grabbing your phone, you know, and making a quick video. Hey, church, I just want to say hi and encourage you right now. You know, we were maybe something simple as a quick 30-second recap of Sunday. Like, hey, we had, you know, a lot of people there and the sermon was about this, or maybe it's a preview for the next Sunday, whatever. But that content would be, like I said, spontaneous, but don't overthink that. Like, start with this scheduled structure of what you can do. And then whenever you might have a spontaneous thought like that, like, hey, yeah, try to throw it out there.
Let me ask this. So probably 10 years ago, roughly 10 years ago, I did via Facebook and just with my, camera on my laptop and so on. I did for probably a year and a half. I don't remember why I stopped, but every Monday I did what was what I always called my Monday memo, which was okay. Kind of just a rehash of Sunday and a reminder, hey, don't forget this is coming up and so on. That's something in my mind that sounds like, that's kind of a reels type thing. Do you think that would be beneficial to kind of have something like that again, kind of, starting the week off, hey, this is what, you know, how
Sunday yeah.
and such.
I do. And actually that's something that, you know, as we would potentially circle back to the reels conversation, that I was going to recommend is because I think you told me about that back in the day, I think like a year ago or so, you mentioned that you were doing that or wanting to do that. And so, yeah, I actually think that's a great idea. I mean, what is that like how long are those videos typically?
Goodness. It was when I was doing it regularly, it was maybe a minute, okay. and a half. It wasn't that long at all.
I gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And so I was going to say, it just depends on, cause the other thing to keep in mind is and it requires a little more prep obviously, but if you did have something that was 5 to 10 minutes, well, you could potentially clip that up into little, you know, snippets and have that become reels. But no, even if you started just with going back to that, like, hey, just something that's 60 to 90 seconds, you know, and I post it out onto reels, and then you can throw it on your YouTube channel even, and, you know, Facebook and all of that. I think that's a great idea, especially if you've already established somewhat of a rhythm and routine of knowing how to make that happen.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Last thing that I'll ask you now, cause I'm not sure how much, probably 45 minutes.
Yeah. I was going to say, I got about 4 to 5 minutes left here.
All right. So let me ask you this. YouTube probably the best place to post video.
Well, I wish that were the case, and it's the best place for right as of right now. Again, it's always changing. It's the best place right now for anything that is, you used to call it short form content, but now short form content short form content now is like I said, TikToks and Reels. That's like 30 seconds or, you know, 60 seconds. Right. Yeah. Short form content used to be anything less than 10 minutes. And so I will old school short form content. YouTube is a great place for that. And even some long form, you know, a lot of people will sit and watch, you know, a sermon or a full length podcast or whatever on YouTube, or they'll have it playing in the background and they'll listen to it. I think, and it also depends on the format of, like, are you going to record landscape or horizontal or vertical? Vertical. I mean, YouTube's has something. I think they call it YouTube Shorts. It's kind of their answer to Reels and TikTok. I don't think it's doing so hot from what I understand, but it's there. But yeah, when it comes to the like wide landscape, which again, this is how God intended it to be, in my opinion, is hey, your phone needs to be this way and you record. I'm a big believer in that.
I am as well.
For that kind of content that you're going to, you know, try to produce in that way, yes, YouTube. But unfortunately, we still have to keep the other platforms in mind. I know one of the big, just being completely honest with you, one of the big things I'm missing is I'm not taking advantage of, you know, that short form content, you know, because I'm doing podcast episodes. And I could easily, or I say easily, it's easier than that, but I could be clipping them up and making them vertical and whatever. And I'm not, because there's that stubborn part of me that doesn't want to embrace that. Let's say anything more than 5 minutes long. YouTube is the best spot. And, you know, anything, because that's my thing. If you're going to produce a video, even if it's intended for Instagram Reel, if you can figure out a way to get on YouTube, go ahead and put it on YouTube too. You know, it doesn't hurt, but it's not the sole, it used to be the sole dominant video platform was YouTube. It's still there. It's still competing, but Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, they're all competing now as well. And like I said, even Twitter's starting to enter the space. Well, thanks again for joining us for this episode. I do hope that if you haven't yet, you will subscribe to our YouTube channel and that you will follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps when you leave us a 5-star review and when you tell others about the podcast. So please do that, and we would be so grateful. Of course, if you want to connect with me and learn more about what we can do for churches through churchmediahq.com or through other organizations through Creative Team Pro, you can find all of that information at mustincrease.com. Well, thanks so much again for being a part of our audience and for checking out this episode. And we look forward to seeing you next time as we continue to increase truth and inspire hope right here on the Must Increase podcast.